Now we're going to go to scripture, and you can join along in your Bible or up on the screen. Well, you can read along. I'm going to read first from Acts 16, 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and there from Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. Now I'm going to read from the Good News of John 14, 23 through 26. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There are times when listening is hard. It's probably never hard for God, but it can be hard for us. Sometimes we hear what we want to hear, and what we don't want to hear, we just don't listen to. Not long ago, I had my hearing checked. I hear fine. Don't have any hearing loss at all. I have to admit, Carla thought I did. Yeah, you know why. She could be sitting right next to me and saying something, and I would not hear a word of it. It wasn't because my hearing was affected. It was just because my mind was elsewhere. I can get so occupied in thinking about something, and many times something just utterly trivial, that I just don't pay attention. And I think that that's true of all of us at one time or another. When we're so focused on something, so determined that we know what's right, we just don't start to listen. We just stop listening. Of course, we don't always listen to God. Paul, the Pharisee turned apostle, is someone who strikes me as always being able to focus on his work to the exclusion of everything else. Paul knows what he wants to do. He knows where he wants to go to do it. And Paul is so focused on that that I wonder if sometimes he wasn't always listening to someone else. Paul has been to the city of Antioch, a large, important city. And from Antioch, Paul decides that the direction he needs to go is east. East lies the province of what the Romans call the province of Asia. It's a large area with a lot of people. And Paul, I suppose, looks on that area as a promising place to spread the gospel. But he, as focused as he is on that, he finds his way blocked. So instead of going east, he turns north. From Antioch north is a region that we know as Galatia. Today, if you want to get an idea where this is, today this is eastern Turkey. Paul goes into that area of Galatia. There's churches that are started there. And then he decides he's going to go all the way up to the northern coast on what we call, they didn't call it that, we call it the Black Sea. So you kind of get an idea of the place in the world where we are. They call that area Bithynia. And the Black Sea, of course, has been much in the news lately. But somehow, as focused as Paul is on that direction, it doesn't happen. Again, he is blocked from going in that area. So he's kind of at a loss of what to do. So he goes west, and he finds himself at the port city of Troas, which is a good place because there's all kinds of different directions that he can go. Troas is on the Aegean Sea, and he has a dream. Now, it could be said that Paul has been so focused that he's starting to get confused about this. If there have been hints and directions about the way he is supposed to go, he's not picked up on it because he has to be stopped from going in a way that, in truth, God doesn't want him to go into. Luke, who writes the book of Acts, does not tell us exactly how this happened, but he tells us that twice the Spirit prevented Paul from doing what he wanted to do, from going on his intended routes. During the night, Paul has a dream while he's in Troas, and the dream is, as you heard in the scripture, a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." And so they do. They cross over to Macedonia across the Aegean Sea and bring the good news there. That's kind of northwest of where Paul is. He's going to what we would call today the mainland of Greece. The Romans called this the province of Macedonia. And finally, God has Paul where God needs Paul to be. Now, an older generation in the church, particularly an older generation of pastors that I knew, would sometimes make reference to what they said was a Macedonian call from this scripture. But what they meant when they were talking about receiving a Macedonian call was a sudden change of plans. In our Methodist system, an unanticipated move, perhaps. Used to be when you went to annual conference, you always went with many of your belongings already packed up. Because when you went to annual conference, you did not know. They did not tell you ahead of time. And it made for a good attendance at the last service where the appointments were announced. And I've heard interesting stories about how sometimes an unexpected move was announced and there were calls of surprise, we'll say. A Macedonian call, that unexpected call, that's not to be ignored. And Paul doesn't ignore it. He has confirmation through this dream, through this vision, that this is the place he's supposed to go, to Macedonia. Now, in Paul's day, and actually in our day, the best known Macedonian is Alexander the Great. I don't have any idea how Paul knew it was a Macedonian, but he knew it was a Macedonian. Perhaps the accent gave it away. But because of Alexander the Great, the Greek culture had spread throughout Paul's known world. And it was actually one of the reasons why Paul himself would know the Greek language, which was the common language of everyone in that part of the world. And Paul knew his history as well. The Greeks had given the Jews a really hard time because the Greeks were so focused on their vision of transforming every territory along Greek lines. It led to a fierce revolt among the Jewish people barely 100 years before Paul, and that memory is still fresh. And now here it is. God wants Paul to go to that very area where all that started. I mean, there were Jews who actually welcomed the Romans because the Romans coming got rid of the Greeks, and the Jews figured the Romans were better than the Greeks. So here comes Paul with this message, taking it to the Greek peninsula of a risen Messiah named Jesus. And Paul wants people to listen. But by the way, there's an interesting footnote here. And that is, this is the verse where Luke starts writing about, we did this. We traveled. We sailed. So this is where Luke seems to join Paul in his journey. Biblical scholars think that Paul actually encountered Luke at the port of Troas. Luke, as you have always heard, is a physician. Philippi was known to have a significant school of medicine. And in that day, physicians were generally itinerant. They would travel around. So the thought is that Luke is actually on his way home when he meets Paul. And aboard ship, they become acquainted, and Luke continues to travel with Paul, and literally to tell us the story. So coming to Philippi, they come to the port city of Neapolis. And it's not a Macedonian man that they meet. It's a Macedonian woman, Lydia. Now there's many reasons why Lydia is important. She's prominent. She's wealthy. She's a powerful person because purple dye, that's the clue, purple dye is really hard to make. And it's really expensive. And that means only the wealthiest of people could afford purple dye, including the emperor's household. So this is the kind of people that she deals with. And Philippi itself is an important city. Luke tells us it's a Roman colony. It's filled with retired Roman soldiers. If you were born in Philippi, you were automatically a Roman citizen. And it's the leading city. And that opens the door to all of these places that we know the name of, because it's from here that Paul gets to places like Corinth and Thessalonica. And frankly, all of the rest of Europe. Paul has been dealing with the Gentiles, and now here's a whole continent full of Gentiles. And the message of Christ spreads into Europe at this point. Now, it's not that Asia is not important. In fact, the gospel went toward Asia. But God had other ideas for Paul. And Paul's voice needs to be heard in those important cities. And eventually, Paul's travels will take him to the capital of Greece, to Athens, and eventually to the capital of the world at that time, Rome. Now, Paul being Paul, I suspect that he would have found fertile ground for the gospel wherever it was that he went, whether it was north, east, south, or west. Wherever Paul went, wherever that first generations of Christians traveled, people heard and they listened to this message about Jesus Christ. And it was like nothing else that they'd ever heard. It was not some system of of complex Greek philosophy like the teachers taught in those Greek cities. It was nothing like the patriotic emperor worship that took place in Roman cities. It was not the exclusivist, law-driven worship that many of the Jews, including Paul, had known. It was not this hodgepodge of these many gods of the Roman and Greek traditional religions, these gods who were to be influenced and persuaded by human actions, some of which would strike us not only as odd, but even as immoral. Instead, Paul's message is of a creator God of all people and of all things. And Paul's message is that this creator God took human form to offer grace and forgiveness and love to the people of the world. And people listened to what Paul had to say. There are no longer temples to Zeus or Caesar, such as Paul would have encountered. There's not even a Jewish temple anymore where rams and goats and doves and other animals are sacrificed with their blood sprinkled. But there are plenty of churches around. Plenty of churches that all look to that first generation of Christians who spread the message of Jesus Christ. There are also faith systems that we contend with. Not so much these other gods, but these other kinds of systems and ideologies that create gods that we are often drawn toward. In fact, maybe in our time, this is more difficult because these faith systems are so pervasive. We're faced with these ideologies. Nationalism is one of those that takes a country and makes the country a god. Authoritarianism is another one of those where a powerful leader literally becomes as a god. Racism that our bishop called out, that's another one of those systems that would make skin color into something of a god. And then there's always that ever-present pursuit of wealth that makes money into a god. Even things like sports teams and hobbies. In the Roman system of gods, there were the regular gods, and then there were these other gods that they called demigods that were still kind of not quite as powerful, but still there. And that's kind of like what sports teams have become for us. Think of all the time and all the effort that people put into things like sports teams and hobbies. How much of themselves they invest in that. Many times, even to the exclusion of things like attending church. Paul found himself in those cities, starting with Philippi, faced with all kinds of situations. And they didn't go away when he left. That's why he wrote those wonderful letters back, as those people tried to navigate what it meant to be a Christian when surrounded by all of these things that are going on. They had to, these situations, they would send to Paul and say, well, now this is going on, and some people are doing that, and is this right? And help us understand what it is that we need to know in order to follow Jesus in the best way. And Paul wrote back, if they would listen and hear what he was sharing. And he learned the lesson because Paul listened. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit, Paul goes to Galatia instead of to Asia. The Spirit of Jesus will not allow Paul to go north where he wants to. Instead, the Spirit directs Paul to Macedonia. Well, Jesus told the disciples that this was going to be. Did they listen to him? He said, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send, and will teach you everything, remind you of everything that Jesus said. And the Spirit still works to guide us if we listen. John Wesley, our Methodist founder, wrote that we all have spiritual senses. Just like we have touch and taste and smell, our physical senses, we have spiritual senses. But just as a baby has to learn how to use those senses, so the followers of Jesus have to learn how to use these spiritual senses. And that's what we do in worship. That's what we do when we read the Scriptures. That's what we do when we look at the tradition of the church, when we give reasonable consideration to this information, that we put it all together, that we discuss it, that we experience the grace of God in the many ways that that grace comes to us. This is the life and the work of the church, if we listen. Now, our times, our circumstances, they are very different from what Paul found when he went to Macedonia. But in Macedonia, Paul found someone who would listen. He found Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, and she listened to Paul. She listened to what was that Paul had to say about Jesus. And that was fertile ground for the message of the gospel. She opened her home up to Paul, and before Paul left, a church. Her hospitality was not only to Paul, her hospitality was to the message of Jesus. The churches, the church in Philippi and the churches in that area were very supportive of Paul in his ministry. He writes to them, and you can tell that there's this warm relationship that Paul has with the church in Philippi. It would send monetary support to him when he needed it. Later on in his life, Paul winds up in jail, and Philippi sends an offering to him. They send someone representing their church, a man named Epaphroditus, who then comes back to Philippi with a letter. The letter to the Philippians. And Paul writes to this church about his situation, about his work, going on even while he's in prison. And then he does something in this letter to the Philippians that is remarkable. I suppose that what Paul is doing is, knowing the church as he knows it, he thinks of a way to inspire and encourage them for the work that they are to do as they proclaim who Jesus is, as he has taught them, so they teach others. And so he includes in his letter a quote from this wonderful hymn of the early church. And it's the message that they carry in their area and that Christian folks have carried in every area where the gospel has been proclaimed and still do today. If we listen to the words, they tell us of Jesus, who God has highly exalted, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And if we listen, that is still our message. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, you give good gifts to all people. You grant us so many things. You give us a spirit of grace and of generosity. Give us, we pray, hearts that are always open to hear your word. Inspire us to follow the example. The example of your servant Lydia, that we may show hospitality to all who are in need or trouble, that we may show hospitality to the message of Jesus Christ our Lord. For he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.